Hey, this is Randall.
And this is John.
From the Don't Wake the Kids podcast.
You're listening to our favorite podcast,
Weird. I hope you're ready for some funny.
Ace Podcast.
Weird.
Again, guess where we are?
Where are we?
We're at the Lee Bear Studios.
Studio 2.
We're Studio 2. We got a big window in Studio 2. I like it, too.
Studio 2 has actually become, you know what, my favorite studio.
Studio 2 is, it doesn't get as much love as it used to.
You know what? You're so far across the audio table from me that I'm much more comfortable in 2. Yeah, there's a lot of distance between us.
It's like in Batman when Vicki Vale's at the other end of the table from, you know, Michael Keaton.
Vicki Vale. Exactly. Vicki Vale.
And they're like, what? What'd you say?
Yes.
If they had microphones like we do,
they wouldn't have to worry about it.
Then they wouldn't have to worry about it at all.
And I'm glad we have our microphones because I don't want to get up and move because of all the equipment we got around us. You know, I don't want to mess anything up.
I don't like getting up anyway.
Hey, it's episode 106. By the way, my name, Aaron.
Oh, yeah. That's Aaron over there. I'm Craig.
Craig's way across the room in Studio 2.
Yeah.
Which is my favorite. Oh, I've already said that, right?
You've already said that. You said that like I was in a different studio than you are.
Did you know,
Craig's way over there in Studio 2.
Did you know that we have a website for this podcast?
Yeah, I do know that.
It's, I'm not going to say the three W's.
No, it's just weirdnewspodcast.com.
That's it. Yeah, weirdnewspodcast.com.
Because this is 2017, you don't have to say dubba-dubba-dubba. Weirdnewspodcast.com.
What can they do if our listener goes to www.weirdnewspodcast.com.
Stop. You sound like an old guy when you say that.
If our listener goes to weirdnewspodcast.com, what could they do there?
They could leave us some. Well, they could listen to the shows directly from there, too.
All of our shows are there.
They can also leave us a message.
They can leave us a voicemail.
They can leave us some money.
I don't think so.
Oh.
No.
We should probably fix that.
Yeah, maybe.
That should probably be at the top of the list.
But they can leave us a message. I mean, not a voicemail, or they could text, or they could write
us. Like our friend Adam did.
They can leave us a comment. That's the word I was looking for.
Comment was the word.
Yeah, they can leave a comment on separate episodes. They can see our show notes.
Yeah, you can see that. You can also see a webpage.
What webpage?
Oh, wait, that is the webpage.
Oh, it is, yeah.
You can also see, I think we ran out of stuff.
Okay. Were you ready for top story?
You can see some really cool dudes.
Did you read through our stories this week?
No, I don't think
we've got some really gold. We've got podcast gold this week.
Yeah.
We've got Pooh Story. We've got two stories that are on more than one page. You know, normally our stories are just one page or smaller.
Yeah.
We've got two stories this week that went on to page 2 because I couldn't edit it. There was so much good there. Nothing could go away.
You had to include it all.
I try to edit them so that they do fit on one page.
Sort of like the whole enchilada.
Exactly.
Oh, now I want Mexican food.
Oh, let's go get something to eat and we'll come back and do this. We'll be right back.
Bye.
Darn it.
Okay, we're back.
Hey, do you got top story?
No, you got it this week.
Why, top story.
County secretary admits stealing fees because husband spends too much at Home Depot.
Oh, wow. If that was a case to steal fees, I could steal them because Lori spends way too much at Home Depot.
Darn it.
Fees paid to Palm Beach County were taken from government coffers by a clerk.
Those are the people that work for the government that have a cold.
The coffers.
Yeah, the coffers.
Who was supposed to process the payments, investigators say. Anita Pedemy.
Oh, Miss Pedemy.
Is accused of stealing the $75 fees repeatedly to the tune of $27,350.
Good night. That's a lot of $75 fees.
Oh, my gosh.
Do the math.
Pedemy, 54, of West Palm Beach, told investigators she needed the money at home. There were a lot of bills, she said, according to a sheriff's office arrest report.
Her husband's name's Bill. They got a Bill Jr.
Yep, Bill Jr.
And his best friend's name's Bill.
Pedemy, I'm just going to keep going. Pedemy was booked into, I'm so riveted by the story.
Pedemy.
Pedemy, can I say it again?
Pedemy.
Pedemy Pocono.
Talk about.
Was booked into Palm Beach County Jail Thursday and later released on bond.
$75 bond.
That would be funny.
Yeah.
A co-worker of Pedemy's first noticed something wrong on November 15th when she told a supervisor that people were coming in and forms were being filled out, but cash being collected by Pedemy was missing. Duh, you think? The co-worker went to her supervisor, who then began investigating.
Oh.
2 days later, Pedemy went to supervisors on her own and told them she messed up. I've been taking money, stealing money from the licenses for about 6 months. You stupid idiots hadn't figured it out yet.
That's not what she said.
She said in the report, my husband was spending a lot of money at Home Depot. I knew it was wrong.
What was wrong? Him spending money at Home Depot?
Or you were stealing the money and funding it. Pedemy told investigators she started taking the money when a receptionist got a new job, and Pedemy became responsible for reporting the fees, the report said. So that's one responsibility off of her job.
Yeah.
Petamy estimated that she took 15 to 16,000.
Well, I guess it was 15 or 16 grand.
It could have been either. I really don't know.
In between
but an audit by the Palm Beach County State Attorney's Office revealed more than, oh, Petamy, $27,000 missing from October 2013 to
now. Much? Oh, I don't think I took that much.
Including money from a victim service fund that Petamy was responsible for. You know, I can't remember her name, and I wouldn't say it anyway on the podcast.
Let's call her Petamy.
We had our own Petamy in high school.
Did we really?
Yes.
Do I know her?
Quite possibly.
Okay.
And we'll talk about this later. But she...
somebody was paying fees and she was pocketing.
She worked for a... what would you call it? Charitable company.
She helped herself to some charity.
She helped herself to some charity and she went up the river to the big house.
Oh, boy.
Stony lonesome.
Well, you're going to have to tell me who it is that's living in the old Gray Bar Motel.
Yeah. And I thought that was crazy. It was like, oh, my God.
But
gosh.
This lady, she was one of these little ladies that sat at the counter and when somebody came in to pay fees.
Like going to get your tags in your car.
Exactly. She'd take them. And if it was cash, you know, mysteriously, nobody ever gave her cash.
Right.
You know? But they got their license, but she...
But how does it take them 6 months to figure out that the money's wrong?
I don't know. Maybe, I don't know. I have no answer for you there, Craig.
Oh, Penny.
But I do have a headline for you, and this is sports related. Headline is, LaVon Bell fills out application for Dairy Queen job.
Oh, yeah.
See, so we got sports, which I enjoy. Dairy Queen, which you enjoy.
Which we both enjoy.
Oh, that's true. I get a double dip out of this
story. Yeah, you do. You get a double.
You only get a single blizzard. I get two.
I get a small blizzard. You get a medium.
Pittsburgh Steelers running back LaVon Bell is apparently willing to find other work if he doesn't earn a desired contract following his current holdout.
It's a publicity stunt, isn't it?
Absolutely. He's not going to put the hat on and serve up a blizzard. You know, like a Choco Cherry Love blizzard. That's cool. That's my favorite.
Ooh. Oh, yeah.
But they're going away. They're not making them anymore.
You can't find them.
No.
But that's why I'm happy with any other blizzard.
Our little hometown blizzard doesn't have the Choco Cherry
Love. Our hometown blizzard.
Yeah.
Our hometown DQ.
Yeah. They don't have the Choco Cherry Love.
Okay, then.
So I have to travel. You know the other one?
I don't want you to think I'm not saying this isn't a good story.
A day
it's
after
just
Bell,
not a great story.
Can I finish?
Yeah, please.
I'm in the middle of reading here. A day after Bell appeared to lash out at teammates via a freestyle posted on social media platforms. That's a rap.
Yeah, I got that.
Off the top of your head.
Yeah,
I'm really good at that, by the way.
No,
I can bring them and drop them like it's hot. And you've seen it happen live.
No.
The 25-year-old filled out an application for a position at a Dairy Queen. I'm jobless right now, Bell stated in a video tweeted out Thursday. You know, I've got to get a job. He's got to work. So I applaud him. He's going to work.
Does he not have millions already?
No, he doesn't. Bell explained his actions via Twitter. I just got to keep my options open. And he showed a photograph of him filling out. I didn't say picture because you make fun of the way I say picture. Of him filling out this Dairy
Queen. He's a Pittsburgh Steeler running back. Don't these guys make pretty good bank?
They do. Yeah.
He's just afraid he can't live on a few mil.
I think he's trying to up his contract. He's saying, all right, y'all.
By throwing
I'm serious.
Dairy Queen.
Yeah, I'm serious because if I don't get this job, look, I got another one on standby.
Well, you know what? They may call him on it. And you know what?
That'd be awesome.
As fast food places go, that's not a bad place.
If I was going to work in fast food, I would probably choose either Culver's.
Whoa. I don't see. I'm not a fan.
Culver's, to me, is top of the line.
Nah, just not
it's,
a fan.
I love a blizzard because there's one here in our small town. I can go by pick one
okay,
up.
Okay, after the apocalypse, you can have all the Culvers and I'll have all the Dairy Queens.
Well, there's not as many. That's not fair.
You called it.
No,
I did not
you
twist your arm. You have this love for Culvers.
I do love Culvers.
You think they're paying for this podcast?
The burgers, even. Oh, my goodness. Hey. Butterburgers. They call them Butterburgers.
Whatever. Whataburgers.
Oh.
Hey,
yeah.
Ready?
Yeah.
Man crushed to death after trying to take a selfie with elephant in India.
We talked about these people last podcast. This is one of the people that would kiss a rattlesnake.
Oh, they're crazy.
You know, that would take a picture.
Well, you know, big old cute elephant. He's
Please.
Not going to hurt you.
Elephants aren't cute.
No, they're pretty.
Even the baby ones.
They're
wrinkly and gray.
And they got like a hairy like surface on their skin.
They're
like,
weird.
Kind of wiry hairs all over them.
It's like rhinos aren't cute.
And they eat with their nose.
That's bizarre.
Yeah, they pick up stuff. Like, what if you picked up food in your nose?
I could.
And stuck it in your mouth.
With this nose.
I don't exactly have a small one.
I could have eaten with my ear a few months ago.
Your ear.
It was huge.
I didn't want to be eerie the whole time. It was disgusting.
It was eerie.
The man, identified as 54-year-old Ashkok Bharti,
oh no, look at the elephant,
had been trying to take a photograph with the elephant when it turned on him. Mr. Bharti, a resident of the city of Cuttack in the eastern state of Odisha, was working with a private company in the Sundagar district when he was killed.
Oh no.
A forest official said the elephant was already agitated before the incident. We were trying to drive away the tusker with the help of local people, but suddenly a person present There among locals went nearer to the Tusker and tried to take a photograph of the elephant with his mobile phone.
Tusker. I've never heard one called a Tusker.
He was also trying to take a selfie with the elephant when it turned on him, the official told the India Times. Mr. Bharti was rescued by locals and forest officials and taken to Rourkela Government Hospital, but was pronounced dead by by the doctors shortly after because his head was smashed in like a...
That's terrible. Like a plum.
Like a plum.
So he wanted to get a photograph of himself.
Didn't I see somewhere like they used to, that's one way they would kill people at some point over there. They would like put their heads under an elephant's foot.
Oh my gosh, no. I hope not. What a terrible way to go.
You act like it was about to happen to you.
I don't even want that thought in my head. Headline is Chinese farmer rescued after ordeal in a hydrogen balloon used to harvest pine cones.
Wait.
This is one of the stories.
I always get them when they fall off on the ground. I don't really never thought about getting hydrogen involved.
Chinese police have rescued a farmer after he flew 50 kilometers. How many miles is that, Craig?
I would have to do a quick Siri search.
I'm going to start over so you can do that. Chinese police have rescued a farmer after he flew 50 kilometers. How many miles is that, Craig?
I haven't had time.
Chinese police have rescued a farmer after he flew 50 kilometers. How far is that, Craig, in miles?
That would be...
Chinese police have rescued a farmer after he flew 50 kilometers in a hydrogen balloon. And to us here in America, that would be... Chinese police have rescued a farmer after he flew 50 kilometers.
That's
how far
31
is
that? 31
miles. 31
miles. 31 miles.
In a hydrogen balloon.
Just over 31 miles.
That he was using to harvest pine cones.
Why would you do that?
Yin Yin Li. Age 29. He was a farmer in the northeastern province of Jilan. And he used a brush, or he had a brush with death last Monday as he was getting ready to pick pine cones from a balloon. I didn't know balloons grew pine cones.
Yeah, and also, of all things to try to use a balloon for, something prickly.
Yes. So he bought this balloon online, by the way.
Well, yeah, duh.
Yin Yanli's family makes a living by gathering cones and selling the nuts inside them. What? Nuts inside a pine cone?
Pine nuts.
I didn't know they were inside the pine cone.
I don't know. I just know pine nuts are delicious.
Are they really?
I assume.
I've never had one.
I guess they come from pine cones.
But then again, I've never had a pistachio either.
Yeah, well, that's your loss.
According to Zinao, using hydrogen balloons to pick pine cones has become popular among farmers in the northern region of China in recent years.
The money they're spending in hydrogen, could they not just eventually just buy a cherry picker?
Yin's wife told the agency that climbing up the trees was dangerous. I guess in climbing above into a hydrogen balloon is not.
Yeah.
And that the spiked shoes used by farmers damaged the trees. Yin was in the basket. Okay, here we go. We're about to break down. We're about to get to the action.
Okay.
What were you about to say before
Lay it
I started?
On me. Oh, I was going to say, and they also will pop the balloon.
That's true. So Yin was in the basket of the hydrogen balloon with his brother last Monday when a strong gust of wind lifted them up. Rather than tying the balloon to the trees, he had asked his mother and an assistant to hold onto the ropes.
They had one job.
I can see this. You want to tie this to the tree where we're safe like we always do?
Oh, no. We actually let go. Sorry.
Let my mom hold on to it. She won't let me go.
And she's probably like, 50 pounds
yes.
or something.
So the wind ripped the rope out of the assistant's hand, and then his mother, still hanging on to the rope, Craig, was lifted off the ground along with the balloon.
And broke a leg.
She wasn't going to let her son fly away. But she let go after it reached a certain height, and then... fell and broke her leg.
You let go sooner.
Mama jump.
You let go sooner, not later.
Yin and his brother jumped out of the balloon as soon as they saw that it was rising. But Yin was fastened to the basket, Craig, with a safety rope. So he was forced to climb back in and just watch helplessly as this balloon
A little bit of irony there. A little bit of irony that you're connected with a safety yes. rope, but it can't actually save you.
He was probably hoping he had those spiked shoes on about then.
Yeah, he was.
Okay, at this point, he was already several hundred meters high. So he tried to call for help with his mobile phone, but guess what?
No signal. Because he was on AT&T.
He probably. Had no bars.
Right.
Despair. I was in despair, Yin told Xinhu. Beside me were clouds. Below me were the forest, the trees. The view was so beautiful, but I was not in the mood to look. I was scared because I was floating away. I said, it's all over. I knew this balloon. Where's it going to bring me? I had no ideas, Craig. That's what he said. Something like that. So, so Yen said
embellished a little bit.
Yeah. So what was he thinking of while he was floating away?
Dairy Queen?
His mother.
Oh, his mother.
He's probably wondering what happened to her after she fell.
I'm down here!
Ma, let go, ma! And his pregnant wife and his daughter and what they would do if he died. He decided to make a video. Well,
eventually, the balloon's going to lose altitude, right?
So he admitted earlier he was in no mood to look at the beautiful scenery, but he is going to make a video. And in the video, he said, "It's over. I faced my life with optimism. I'm flying away." I'd like to see this video. Too bad we don't have this audio. So then, Craig, he checked his phone again, and he finally gained a little bit of a signal. So the first call that he received or that he made was to his wife. She told him to stay put and that she'd called the police.
He could probably downloaded an app for his phone that would have guided the balloon.
She said, just stay there. Call the cops. They come and get the balloon. They save you.
Pick a rifle.
They shoot the balloon down. You'll be okay. In what he thought would be their last conversation, Yen said, I love you. If I survive, I spend the rest of my life with you. If anything happens to me, you must be strong and live. So...
Wow, he's a giver.
Yeah, so he wasn't going to spend the rest of his life with her had he not been in this predicament.
Right.
Now he's going to.
All that stuff I said earlier, I'm just kidding.
I really love you. The police in the local county told Xinhu that they thought it was a joke. So when they got this phone call saying, my husband's in a balloon and it's just flying away, They're like, oh, ha, ha.
Quit calling us.
That's so funny.
Don't stop calling us now.
This 911, you don't call for funny, okay?
It's so funny.
But after they understood the situation... They figured out the wind speed and the direction, so they use science, and they use Yen's mobile phone to determine his location. They're using science and GPS.
Yes.
That's pretty smart. So the police said that they sent 40 people and 7 vehicles to head to the head of the area to find Yen.
This is one of those two-pagers.
It is. They also called a balloon producer.
Producer.
We know you make these things. How you stop them?
Yeah. How you make them land?
And then they called Yen and told him how to let the air out. So
you know, this entire story, I never thought about that.
Yen subsequently ripped a piece of sheet metal off the basket and used it to make 3 small holes in the balloon.
He did that wrong. He would have landed quickly.
That's right. The balloon slowly descended after a while, and Yen jumped into a tree when it got close enough.
He couldn't just wait a little longer for it to land?
He was scared, man. He had traveled about 2 hours. He was up in the air about 2 hours and 50 kilometers, which you told us was
31 miles.
More than 31 miles from where he started. So he was picked up by the police officers, and he only suffered minor scratches. Despite the near tragedy, Yen told Xinghao that he had already ordered another hydrogen balloon and had gone out last Sunday to pick pine cones in it. So he's right back in it.
This makes me want one of those propeller things I told you about.
You know what he said?
What?
He said, but this time I learned from my experience, and I take safety measures. He's got a fan with him now.
I was going to say, what's that name?
Direct himself.
That's like the thing I said I wanted to get, the big propeller you wear on your back.
Yes.
And it's got the parachute behind you. How awesome would that be until you died?
I want to eat some pine cone nuts.
You're pine nuts.
Whatever.
They're just called pine nuts.
I don't think that's it. I didn't know that if you broke up on a pine cone, there were edible nuts inside.
I don't know if that's where pine nuts come from. I'm assuming that's where they come from. Maybe
you know what happens when you assume. I can write this out for you.
No.
Okay.
I mean, I do know, but okay. I don't want... I have to clear my throat because I got a big story coming here.
You ready?
You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready. You ready?
Naked California Brothers break into and vandalize a church.
The Naked Brothers Band?
No. These guys were kind of creepy looking.
Yeah, they were.
Especially the dude on the left.
Anybody that gets naked outside the bedroom.
Or the bathroom.
Or the bathroom. Whatever. Outside of their house. They're weird. Anybody that breaks into a church, they're weird.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. Anybody that's on this podcast.
And these are brothers.
Yeah.
That's like triple weird. That's why we're covering the story.
It's quad weird.
It is quad
weird.
Because
they're on this podcast.
That's right.
Ready? Two brothers from Riverside were arrested on suspicion of burglary and felony vandalism after breaking into an Orange County church on Wednesday night. At the time of their arrest, one brother was completely naked and the other one was partially clothed.
He was, you know, wearing his shorts.
Why was he partially naked?
Oh, because they're positive people.
They're optimists.
Yeah, they see the glass half full.
Okay.
Optimists,
I'll go with that. According to the Irvine Police Department, 24-year-old Paul Vincent Vilkind and 22-year-old Brandon Joseph Vilkind. And as we've said before, if you got to go by 3 names,
absolutely,
there's trouble.
Yes.
They broke into Harvest Orange County Church, barricaded themselves inside, and vandalized the building.
Wow.
A security guard at a neighboring business called the police after seeing the Vilkind brothers approach the church with one of them carrying what appeared to be a rifle. The brothers smashed a glass door and gained entry into the church, where they barricaded themselves inside. According to prosecutors, the Vilkins vandalized the building and destroyed electrical equipment and musical instruments.
What in the world?
The brothers then threw a smoke bomb outside as they exited the building. They were trying to do that magician thing.
Yeah, they wanted to be ninjas.
As they exited the building, with one of them completely naked and the other one partially clothed.
Again. So one of them said, I'm not taking these shorts off.
One of them said, I'm only halfway into this deal. I'm not really.
Yeah.
Police took both of the brothers into custody without incident. The rifle that one of the brothers was carrying was actually a replica airsoft rifle. And police also found four boxes of ammunition that would not have worked with the replica because the replica. The
right.
suspect's mother said her sons wanted to meet with the church's pastor to discuss possible discrimination by a member of the ministry. She added that they took their clothes off to show their fearlessness.
That's bizarre. You know, if I wanted to meet with somebody from church, I would call and set up a meeting. I wouldn't get naked and then go break in and destroy the musical instruments.
They were weird looking.
They were. They were creepy looking. They're, bizarros is what they were.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Wouldn't be a weird episode without one.
You took the words out of my mouth. I was going to say it would not be a weird episode if we did not have a good poop story.
Got to have a poop story. And plus, I talked about this when we were just getting started tonight. So,
and you know what? The kids love a good poop story.
Who doesn't? I mean, poop's funny. But you know what else? You know where this story takes place? Yeah, kangaroos and poop and spiders.
The land down under.
Mate.
Crikey. That's enough. A woman that went down really quick, man.
Yeah.
That just like disappeared.
You know, I do what I can.
What the heck? A woman threw poo out of a window on a first date, and firefighters had to get involved.
Oh, you're going to have to tell me more, man.
You know, and that sounds like something that's made up, but that's a headline made for this podcast.
We couldn't have written something any better than that.
A woman threw poo out of a window on a first date, and firefighters had to get involved. Firefighters were called after a woman ended up stuck upside down hanging out of a window after she got wedged while trying to retrieve a poo.
Retrieve a poo.
No. Just leave it where it's at. Emergency services were forced to destroy the window of her date, Liam Smith's student house.
Oh, Liam.
Yeah, Liam, the guy without the window. But the poo was rescued.
Why?
I don't know.
Why?
Liam, who's studying postgraduate sociology at Bristol University.
Bristol.
Told the story on a crowdfunding page to raise money for his new window. Well, I recently took a girlfriend I met to Tinder on Nidos. What does that mean?
I don't know. I don't know what that means.
We had a lovely evening, crikey, and enjoyed each other's company very much. And, you know, I pretty much lost the accent. We know that, right?
Yeah.
I had that accident where I got struck in the head by something.
I bet they went to Outback.
They probably did.
A blooming onion.
After our meal, crikey, we went back to my house for a bottle of wine and Scientology documentary.
Oh, yeah.
I bet they watched Clear, Going Clear.
Maybe.
That's probably it. I've watched that one, actually. About an hour into the documentary, my date got up to use the toilet. She returned with a panicked look in her eye and told me she had something to tell me.
She's doing it wrong. I can tell you that right now.
I went for a poo in your toilet. She's from England, by the way.
Thanks for letting me know.
And it would not flush. I don't know why I did this, but panicked. She continued. I reached into the toilet bowl, wrapped it in a tissue paper, and threw it
Gross.
Out the window. I was... Oh, sorry. Excuse me. I was understandably concerned, crikey.
His date's throwing poo out the window.
And told her we would go outside, bag up the offending poo
Gross.
In the garden, bin it.
Gross.
That's bin it. Put it in the trash. And pretend the whole sorry affair hadn't happened. He's thinking he's winning points.
Yes.
If he can get past that whole vision.
I'm thinking I'll see you later. Date over.
Unfortunately, owing to a design quirk of my house, the toilet window does not, in fact, open out to the garden, but instead a narrow gap about a foot and a half separated from the outside world by another non-opening double-glazed window.
Good night.
Crikey.
Crikey for real.
It was into this twilight zone that my date had thrown her poo.
What a sentence.
As can be seen, there's a lot of me trying to do
I'm
this.
I'm telling you.
As can be seen in the picture, the inside window opens at the top.
Oh, there was a picture with the article.
Into the gap that is separated from the garden. by a non-opening double glazed window pane, seeing only one solution, I messaged our house group chat and went upstairs to find a hammer and chisel to smash open the window. My date had other ideas. Being an amateur gymnast, crikey, she was convinced that she could reach into the window and pull the poo out.
This is so gross.
Using the tried and tested inside out bag as a glove.
Oh, I've done that before for dog poo.
Yes. Unfortunately, crikey, she couldn't reach. Crikey.
She's short.
She climbed further in and had the same problem. Mate. Eventually, I agreed to give her a boost up into the window.
Go get the poo.
She climbed head first into her own turd.
Oh, gross.
Reached deeper into the window, bagged it up and passed it out over the top
and back took it
into the toilet from whence it came. She called out to me to help her climb out from the window. I grabbed her waist, crikey, and I pulled, mate.
I just
but
said,
she
hang
was
on.
Stuck. I had nothing on but my jocks.
I'd say, hang on, let me go get the hand sanitizer.
I just wanted to say jocks.
Yeah.
Stuck fast. Try
she
as
was.
We might. We could not remove her from the window, crikey. She was stuck fast upside down in the gap.
Oh, no.
Unfortunately for my date, at this stage, I could only see one way out of our predicament. She had been upside down in the window for around 15 minutes, -0030. I just want to add that, too.
That's good.
She's about
to pass out at this point.
And I was starting to grow concerned for her health.
Sure.
Because of what she let out, obviously.
Right.
He was thinking that she wasn't healthy.
That came out of you?
Yeah. I called the fire brigade.
Oh, good.
Yeah, yeah.
Here they come.
Bristol's finest, crikey. He says that a lot, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does.
We're on the scene, sirens blaring in a matter of minutes,
this kid
mate.
Can tell a story, too.
Yeah, he can. Kane.
Yes, he can. That's not
once,
a turd.
Once, yeah, that's not a turd. Once they had composed themselves after surveying the scene in front of them, they set to work removing my date from the window using all of the special fireman hammers and tools, mate. It took them about 15 minutes.
Yikes.
Liam has turned to the internet to help raise the $300 he needs to repair his broken window.
Oh, the internet.
He said, if the window's not replaced, my landlord may well kill me.
Yes.
Crikey.
Right.
So you'd literally be saving a life. If by some miracle I managed to raise the money through this page, more money than the cost of the window, any remainder will be split 50-50 between two charities, mate.
Nice.
Liam told the Bristol Post that despite his date's awkward ending, he did see the woman again. We did go meet for a drink and discuss setting up a crowdfunder, he said. She's a lovely girl. I'm not really sure what's going to happen, crikey.
He said she got up to use the bathroom, and I took off.
Yeah, yeah. I just get a little nervous every time she uses the bathroom. I'm really busy with the dissertation at the moment, but I'll certainly be open to seeing her again, mate.
Man, he's a brave young man.
Yeah, actually, that was a really great story. There is some reason to believe it might not have actually been in Australia.
But as far as we know.
But as the authors of the show.
Yes.
We don't write the news. We don't write the news.
No.
But as authors of the fun
yes,
in the show.
We do make
we're
going to
just pretend that this was Australia.
And if not, somebody call and leave us a voicemail at WeirdNewsPodcast.com.
At AaronJustDoesn'tGiveARip.com.
Yeah. Headline is, man forgets he sold his car when drunk, reports it stolen.
You know, I have a lot of car issues lately.
Yeah. Does this story ring home with you?
Not really.
You hadn't sold any drunk.
I haven't sold any drunks?
No. A man who had too much to drink and sold his car to get more alcohol woke the next day to find it gone and reported it stolen to police. The man went to Rotoro Police Station at the weekend to tell police his car was gone and someone must have stolen it while he was out.
Maybe parked it next to that kid at that garage where
yes,
it was missing for so
up
long.
Up in Canada. But the reality was, Craig, the man sold the vehicle for $800, which would allow him to keep drinking, which was all he was concerned about at the time. He wasn't concerned about
no,
his
he
car.
Wasn't concerned at
he
all.
Was concerned about the booze.
How much booze could he get for $800?
But given his intoxicated state, he couldn't remember when he woke up in the morning that he had sold the car. So mm-hmm. That's what the police said anyway. Thankfully, the man who bought the car checked the registration the next day on CarJam website, and as he was worried it might be stolen. Yeah, he got a nice car for right. $800. He's going to check it out. By then, the police had already received the report that it apparently had been stolen, and an alert came up on the CarJam website. So it was stolen. He saw that it was stolen, so he was smart.
Oh, okay. So he bought a stolen car. I get it.
It wasn't really stolen, but the guy reported it stolen, so they sent
the report.
Oh, no,
I thought maybe he sold him a stolen car.
No, he did not. So the man came into the station with the car to let them know what had happened. We were able to get in touch with the original owner and told him to sort it out between the two.
You two sort it out. We're not doing it.
I've got $600 of your dollars still here, but, you know, Mr. Murphy said the police often told members of the public it was dangerous to drink and drive.
$800 of the guy's money.
Yeah, but he drank away $200 of it.
Oh, good point.
Yeah, so, but now they had another warning. The lesson here is don't drink and sell cars. So not only should you not drink and drive, Craig, don't drink and sell cars.
Don't be a, well, it may take, I would have to drink to want to sell cars.
Yes.
If I was that persuasion.
Right.
Hey.
What?
Hey. Hey.
Go ahead.
Boy Five.
Yes.
That sounds like a band.
Boy Five.
Boy Five. The Boy Five.
I've got all their albums.
Boy Five, he's 5 years old, finds a python inside toilet at family's home. That's a nope.
No. No way. A python.
A British mother said the mystery of her home's clogged toilet was solved when her 5-year-old son lifted the toilet seat and came face to face with a 3-foot python.
No thanks. Slam that seat quickly, Laura, and sell the house.
Oh, yeah, burn it down.
Yes.
Laura Cowell of Southend in England's Essex County.
Oh, she's from England, mate.
Said the commode had been having clogging problems for several days before her young son discovered the snake in the toilet bowl.
Commode.
What?
They said commode. I haven't heard that word in years.
I use that word. Yeah.
I use toilet.
I hope you use the toilet.
I don't use commode.
He was frantic and shaking. I could tell something was wrong, but that was not what I expected.
Simon Cowell
said,
I had to use a broom handle to lift the lid. Then out it popped its head and its tongue came out as well.
He said, hey, thanks for letting me out.
Cowell contacted Scales and Fangs Pet Shop, sounds appropriate, which sent Ethan Pinion to remove the serpent.
Oh, Ethan, if you're going to have a serpent removed,
yes,
he's the one. Yeah.
It smelt of bleach and a bit toilety,
Pinion said. Rob Yeldum, owner of Scales and Fangs, said the royal python was found to be an escape pet named Reggie.
Reggie.
He had a little name tag on, said, hi, I'm Reggie.
He had a collar.
He had a little bell on it. He said the snake's owner said Reggie had been missing for about 2 months.
The owner moved into his house 2 months ago. As he lifted the snake's vivarium into the house, the air vent came loose, and Reggie managed to knock the vent out during the night and escape.
Oh, way to go, Reggie.
Told the echo.
Reggie's a crafty little snake.
Snakes become active during the night. And when he escaped, he worked his way up the air vents to the building. He must have taken a wrong turn at Albuquerque and ended up in the sewage system of the lady's house and wandered his way into the toilet.
I was thinking Albuquerque when you said that. From one steak story.
Steak snakes.
From one snake story to another, family finds 6-foot snake.
Now you can play the theme.
On top of the refrigerator. Once again.
Maybe for sure this time.
Funky music. You know what we're going to do? We're going to do the kangaroo. You ready? On three. One, two. Everybody wants to do the kangaroo. An Australian snake catcher was called to the... Oh, I wonder if it was Ethan Pinion.
Yeah.
An Australian snake catcher was called to the home of a family who were shocked to spot a 6-foot snake slithering on top of their refrigerator. They thought it should be sleeping up there. They didn't want it slithering.
No slithering.
Stuart McKenzie removed the massive carpet python.
Made of carpet?
A Newsville family found on top of the fridge this week. Originally, he was just relaxing on top, but then he made it difficult as soon as I touched him, McKenzie told the Sunshine Coast Daily. Usually, they just slide off the top of the fridge, but he was able to get his head in the back there and wedge into different areas. I don't like.
Was he originally from China?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
just making sure.
I don't really like egg grabbing, which I have to do gently in the end, he said. It took me way longer than it should to get him out. Even the fridge started beeping at me. He had the door open as he was trying to get
there. You know what's the worst thing about carpet pythons?
What?
They blend right in with the carpet.
No.
Yeah.
Is that it? Maybe.
They're called carpet pythons for something.
That's scary.
Maybe they put down carpet. That would explain the wee little work belt that he had.
Yes, in the collar.
Poorly placed UPS package leaves man trapped in apartment.
I love this.
A poorly placed UPS package left a California man trapped inside his 5th-floor apartment this weekend. Jesse Lawrence shared a photo of the long Amazon package that was placed horizontally under his doorknob, making it impossible for him to open the door.
You think he was late for work?
Hey, UPS, your driver left this package under the doorknob like this and trapped us in our apartment, he wrote. Had to call maintenance to get out.
Hey.
This guy was, he's in California, but he's from Jersey.
I could tell he's from New York area.
Yeah. Maintenance eventually came to Lawrence's rescue, but he noted that the package mishap could have caused serious trouble.
Sure.
Sure, that's what he said.
Yeah.
Sure, it's an inconvenience for us to call someone to get us out, but if it were an emergency, we would have been really in trouble. We're five floors up.
Sure, what if the place was on fire or something?
If the police were on fire?
No, if the place.
Oh, the place was on fire.
The place was on fire.
UPS customer support reached out to, that must be a long arm. to Lawrence to offer an apology. Just a giant arm came through his window with a piece of paper and it was an apology. Although it contained a typo. Oh, now we're just being picky.
I'm sorry you're for this.
I'm sorry you're for this, the tweet read. I'll be glad to assist you.
That sounds like a robo tweet.
I'm sorry for this.
Hey, who's your favorite dictator?
Kim Jong-un.
That's right. Well, apparently he can handle his liquor, let's say that, or his alcohol. Because he claims he drank 10 bottles of Bordeaux wine in one night. Now, his father...
Does he get that from, like, the other side of Nashville?
Yeah, Bordeaux. I remember his father claimed to have gotten 9 hole-in-ones on a 18-hole golf course the first time he ever played. So this family has a long line of stretching whatever...
Right.
Whatever truth.
No, he probably can drink. You seen the size of him? He probably can drink 10 bottles of wine in one night. And I mean, he can't get any worse at what he does.
He wouldn't have to worry about anybody posting it online.
No. They've only got 28 websites.
Kim Jong-un has a penchant for French wine and boasted about drinking 10 bottles of Bordeaux in one night, according to the Kim family's former sushi chef.
Well, that guy's dead now.
He's going to be. Kenji Fujimoto! He's a Japanese chef who claims to have known the Kims since 1982.
Oh, yeah, we go way back.
Disclosed details of a dinner he had shared with the North Korean dictator, revealing his fondness for indulgent food and
okay,
drink.
Okay, stop. We can look at him until he indulges on food.
Absolutely.
And again, here we go, people. One more time.
Yeah.
We're only making fun of the guy because he's a dictator, really bad guy.
He's an evil, evil
buddy
man.
Buddy Budman.
Mr. Fujimoto, who visited North...
Mr. Fujimoto, Mr. Roboto.
No. Domo arigato, Mr. Fujimoto, domo.
You had to one-up me.
I did. Mr. Fujimoto, who visited North Korea in April...
Thank you very much, Mr. Fujimoto. I already messed it up. Fujimoto.
I think you made it better.
I made it better. Fujimoto.
Thank you, Dennis DeYoung, for giving us that beautiful piece of music.
I want to thank you.
Kim Jong-un appeared at the dinner with 6 attractive women.
Ooh.
And drank expensive Bordeaux wine before...
Well, were they attractive before the 10 bottles or after the 10 bottles?
Before boasting about drinking 10 bottles
of
Bordeaux.
Did you say drinking...
In one
You're
night,
speaking my English now.
Just days before.
When you were hitting her. Hidden's what I said earlier.
The chef claims to have personally catered for the Kims for 13 years. In 2001, he fled to Japan. And this is how he got out of North Korea. He said he was supposed to be buying sushi ingredients.
I got to go get more stuff for your sushi. I'll be back.
Just next door in Japan.
Yeah, just next door. Be right back.
He has built a career writing books about his past employers. I'd like to read some of his books.
Yeah.
Despite claiming his life was in danger, Mr. Fujimoto has paid several trips.
Mr. Fujimoto, Mr. Roboto.
Fuji. As well as his love for fine wine, Kim Jong-un is reported to be a heavy smoker and a massive fan of Swiss cheese.
He's massive, all right.
Yes, he is. In 2014, he dispatched North Korean officials to a French culinary school to learn the art of cheese making after he became frustrated by his chef's inability to properly replicate the European flavors.
And had them killed.
That's why he had to send them to chef school, because he killed his chefs.
You go. I don't want to go.
Mr. Fujimoto. Kim Jong-un's alleged gluttony has fueled rumors that he suffers from high blood sugar, gout, and diabetes.
Duh.
Speculation over his health peaked in 2014 when he failed to appear in public for 3 weeks and missed a session of the Supreme People's Assembly, North Korea National Legislature.
Much love to the sesh.
Earlier this year, Kim Jong-un was pictured smoking a cigarette during a public visit to a children's camp.
Okay. In
Pyongyang.
It was in Pyongyang.
Pyongyang.
Hey, kids, I'm your leader here. Let me light up.
Pyongyang.
That was him drawing a smoke. Despite the country being in the midst Pyongyang. Of an anti-smoking campaign. So what a fine example of...
He's a great guy.
What a guy. Kim's father, Kim Jong-il... It's Kim Jong dead now.
Yeah, yeah.
And grandfather Kim Jong also dead. Both suffered from obesity.
No, it's Kim Il-sung. Well, what did he sing?
He said,
I want wanna thank you.
He said, "Domo arigato,
Mr. Fujimoto."
Domo,
stop it.
Although the vast majority of North Korea's 25 million citizens endure the threat of starvation,
and being held prisoner in a work camp,
obesity is a growing problem among North Korean kids.
Because they're finally eating each other to stay families. To not die. Yeah. So the next story.
Yeah,
you like that? I'm working on my intro.
I do like
so
that.
So the next story.
That's good. Yeah.
Police. This is what they say.
What do the police say?
It says police colon. Not a policeman's colon.
That's gross.
Man steals cop car with DUI suspect inside.
Oh, no.
I'm breaking you out, Johnny.
Thanks, man. A 39-year-old Detroit man was arraigned on several charges
Wednesday.
Here we
Wednesday go again after with the list. List of charges.
Yeah, here we go. We should have like a top 10 list of charges. A 39-year-old Detroit man was arraigned on several charges Wednesday after he allegedly drove off with an Oak Park police car with a suspect still inside.
I love it.
Duan?
Yeah, I think
Duan Rollins is charged with one count of motor vehicle unlawful driving away, one count of third degree fleeing in a vehicle, one count of assault with a dangerous weapon, two counts of malicious
Good
destruction
grief.
Of a fire or police
How
property.
How do they count this high?
And one count of resisting or obstructing a police officer, according to court officials. You got some water over there, man. That was a lot to say just
yeah.
then. During his arraignment in 45th District Court, I love how he always tells which district court it is.
Like we care.
Yeah, I know. Rollins pleaded not guilty and requested an attorney for his next court date, a probable cause hearing on November 29th. Bond was set at $100,000. According to police, the incident began around 4 a.m. Tuesday, 1 hour after.
Devil's hour.
When a patrol car stopped to help the disabled vehicle on 8 Mile between Coolidge and Hubble. A woman in her late 20s drove the vehicle, but there was also a man outside the vehicle who looked as if he was trying to help.
I'm just here to help.
The woman reported a flat tire and
that was actual audio of him.
That was crazy. It was uncanny how you sounded like
yeah.
him. It was believed that she was also out of gas. It soon became apparent that the man was not actually with the woman.
Uh-oh.
With, like, as they were dating with
no.
or just hanging out with her.
He was just walking by.
Yeah. Police escorted the man to the sidewalk. Kretschmar said.
A short trip.
Yeah, really. And watched him clear a substantial distance away from the disabled vehicle before turning their attention back to the car and the woman. Police soon came to believe that the woman had been driving drunk before her car became disabled and arrested her on suspicion of DUI.
That's why her car became. I bet she curbed the heck out of some tires.
Probably. While she was in the back seat of the patrol car, the man who'd initially been helping jumped into the driver's seat and took off down 8 Mile.
We're out of here.
Hang on, Lucy.
You're going to be my wife.
Officers tried to open the door before he drove off, but couldn't.
Can't get the door open. Wigglesworth.
How do you open these things?
Hey, Wigglesworth, how do you open this door?
Wigglesworth had been demoted a few times.
Yeah, bless his heart.
Officers got inside another patrol car, which apparently was in a dispenser next to them.
This is in Japan.
Officers got inside another patrol car that was on the scene and gave chase. The car headed north on Greenfield, east on 9 Mile, but never left the city. Eventually, the stolen police car voluntarily came to rest.
The car volunteered. Look, buddy, we're done.
On a dead-end street, Albany, and police took the man into custody without incident. No one was injured, Kretschmar said.
That's a good story. So let's break it down real quick.
All right.
All right, so the cops pull over to help a lady who they think has had a flat tire.
Right.
And they also think she may be out of gas for some reason.
Right.
Maybe
for whatever reason.
The car was off or something. There's a guy that they think's helping.
It was Japan, right?
No, it wasn't Japan.
What'd you say it was?
But I said Japan because of the vending machines they have.
Oh, that was humor.
Yeah.
Okay.
So there's a guy that they think's helping, but he's really not. And they realize the woman's drunk. She's been drunk
right.
driving.
They send the other guy off walking.
Right.
Somewhere.
They say they escort him to the sidewalk.
And he's walking off going.
They put the woman in the back
he's
of
like,
their
I'm
car.
I'm gonna give me a police car.
This guy.
I'm gonna make her my wife.
This guy sees his opportunity, jumps in, and takes off with the drunk driver in the back seat.
Yep.
Okay. I just wanted to break that down. Make
That's
sure I had
pretty much
correct.
Everything I just said.
I know.
Man bring next story. Ready?
Oh, yeah, I like it.
Next story.
Yeah.
You like it.
Next story.
You like it.
Headline is?
Like it. Man brings two children along on botched robbery at Melbourne Medical Center.
Come on, kids. We're going down to the bank. See if we can't.
What did we just say?
What?
We just said you're
we're
not
going
to do the voice. No, you're not going
to
do the voice.
Want to go to the bank? We'll get a lollipop.
In fact, this isn't even your story to read, so you need to just
zip it. I'm just adding sound effects. I'm not doing an accent. I'm adding a sound effect. Come on, children. We're going down to the bank. Right. That's not a knife. You know what? We should probably move to Australia. We got more friends in Australia than we do here.
That's the truth.
Yeah.
A man has been caught on CCTV.
I love that channel.
Closed caption television. Yeah, CCTV. You're watching CCTV all day, all night, surveillance.
All the news that's down under.
Could you imagine that?
What?
That reminds me of another radio show, I won't name, but they had a parody they did of the Time Channel. You're watching the Time Channel. It's 4 o'clock.
I don't remember that.
Welcome to the Time Channel. It's now 4:01. A man has been caught on closed caption television, that's CCTV.
Yeah.
Attempting to rob a medical center, or as they spell it down there, Centra, in Melbourne's northwest with two young children in tow. Police, why is he towing them? Why didn't he just let them ride in the car?
It's a Prius.
Oh, right. Police said the would-be thief asked staff at the center in Caroline Springs about its opening hours.
That's an American city. Caroline Springs.
I'm sure there's plenty of places named. Can we go on now?
Hey, mate. We're going down to Caroline Springs, right? Going to get to pick up some... bring the kiddies along. I'm going to make a robbery.
It's not even... I mean...
I don't know what that was.
I don't know what you are, okay?
Hey.
Police said the would-be thief asked staff at the center in Caroline Springs about its opening hours about 5:30 p.m. on November 3rd. They believe the same man returned to the center an hour later after it closed and gained access via an internal door to an adjacent business. Hey, hypothetically, when do you guys close?
Let's just say you're going to close, right?
Let's just say I was interested. Yeah, I'm doing like a poll here.
I'm writing a book.
Write a book. And you guys, what time would you close? Okay, I'll be back in 30 minutes. Security footage showed the man searching through drawers and breaking into a cash register while two children, a boy and a girl, followed him around. It's believed nothing was stolen. I just want to ask a question to our Australian friends. Do you not have times of like store hours on a door down
yeah,
there?
Yeah, they do. It's like 0300.
Yes, 0300 to 06 something. But do you not, I mean, is this something that we're taking for granted? That here we have signs that say this is when we open, this is when we close.
We can walk up to a building and
we
see.
We can drive up. How many times do you drive
the
up?
The studio here has hours posted.
Right.
And I don't know why.
I don't know why either.
But they do.
It's not like it's a public joint.
Because you know why? The manager was late this morning. I was standing outside. And it's a bit chilly today.
You need to sack the manager.
You think so?
This is the Lee Berry Studios, my friend.
That's true.
I'll get Lee Berry on the phone right now.
No, you won't.
No, because he died 400 years ago. Founding father. Hey, it's time for the Mark Patch Top 10.
Yes.
Gather your kids around, people. It's time to call the neighbors out on the front porch. It's time for the Mark Patch Top 10.
And since this is episode 106, it's getting harder and harder for the producer to find top 10 lists for this show.
There's plenty.
We may have to come up with something else in the near future. Or keep writing our own like we did last week.
But we always tell you if we write our own.
We do. Absolutely.
This is actually a top 10, official. The top 10 biggest box office flops so far.
Yeah, because there's going to be more. But up to this date, these are the top 10 biggest.
Why is Ishtar not in this?
I guess these are bigger than Ishtar's flops go. It must have made more money than these
all
lost. Right. Number 10. The number 10 biggest box office flop so far, The Adventures of Pluto Nash.
Eddie Murphy.
Estimated loss adjusted for inflation, $128 million.
Okay, number 9.
Yes.
I like this movie, actually. Titan A.E., and I think it's is it a Don Bluth movie?
I have no idea.
I think it's Don Bluth.
I've never seen it.
I may be wrong. It was animated.
Yeah.
Estimated loss adjusted for inflation, $139 million.
Number 8, Cutthroat Island.
This was infamously...
It's a bad movie. Yeah. Estimated loss adjusted for inflation, $140 million. Cutthroat Island, what was that? Late
80s?
Gina
Davis.
Was it late 80s?
Rennie Harlan maybe made it?
I don't know.
Yeah, it was 90s or 80s. I don't remember. That's why it didn't matter.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Number 7, King Arthur, Legend of the Sword. Estimated loss adjusted for inflation, $150 million.
Number 6, Pan. Estimated loss for inflation, $152 million.
Number 5, Mars Needs Moms.
That's
more recent. Yeah. I mean, it's been the past, I don't know, 10, 15
Again,
years.
Again, animated.
Estimated loss adjusted for inflation, $153 million.
Number 4, 47 Ronin.
I don't even know what that is. I know the name. Either.
Estimated loss for adjusted for inflation, $154 million.
Number 3, of the top 10 biggest box office flops so far.
Yes.
Number 13th Warrior.
Ooh.
Estimated loss adjusted for inflation, $185 million.
I don't know that one, do you?
Nope. I know the names of some of these. But
number two, The Lone Ranger. This is the recent one with Johnny Depp, which I did see.
Nobody liked it.
It was not a good movie. It just wasn't entertaining. I've not watched
it. It looked like Johnny Depp was showing up on set to be Johnny Depp.
I think so. Estimated loss adjusted for inflation on this one, $195 million.
Now, I'm going to defend number one.
Are you really?
It's a good movie.
Is it?
It is a good movie.
But it still flopped. It doesn't matter if it's a good movie or not.
I'm still going to say it's a good movie, though.
It doesn't have to be a good movie.
I think it's the same... Is it the same author of the Tarzan books?
I don't know.
I think John, I think so. Sometimes I remember things weird. But anyway, number one, top 10 biggest box office flop so far. Number one, John Carter. Estimated loss adjusted for inflation, $209 million. I really enjoyed that movie.
Well, that's okay. And the thing is, these aren't bad movies. These are just
flops. Well, there are a couple of them are bad. Some of these are bad movies.
Some of them are bad. Cutthroat Island was a bad movie. Ishtar was a bad movie, as you said.
Yeah, I'm surprised that one wasn't included.
And what's the...
What's the Jiggly or whatever? The one with...
Oh, gosh, yes. I tried to watch that.
With J-Lo and Ben Affleck.
Yes, terrible. Oh, it was so bad.
Oh, man. Let's go vomit now.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Weird. Please subscribe to our podcast and tell your friends. Check us out online at www.weirdnewspodcast.com. Come back next week